The Census Bureau wants to try something new for the 2020 census. It wants to offer people the option of responding to the census through the internet. Carol Cha is Director of Information Technology Acquisition Management Issues at the Government Accountability Office, and she's gauging how far along the Census Bureau is toward introducing its internet option. Carol, thanks for coming on the program today. You looked at three main things as you examined the Bureau's efforts to bring an internet response capability for the 2020 census. What'd you look at? Thanks for being on today.
Oh, thanks for having me here. So we looked at three specific objectives for the Senate and House oversight committees. We looked at the impact of the internet response option on historically hard-to-count populations. We also looked at the reliability of the internet response lifecycle cost estimate, as well as the potential savings to be derived from this option, as well as the challenges that the Bureau is facing in bringing an internet response option to bear. And, you know, when you look at the, you know, what they're intending to do for 2020, this is actually quite exciting because according to the Pew Research Center, you know, internet use among the adults in the U.S. has increased from 57% since 2000. And while this varies across demographics and age and income, when you look across the board, there is generally a high percentage in use of the internet. And this is really important to note because responses via paper have been on a steady decline since 1970. And that's actually added to the overall cost of the enumeration, which from our last count in 2010, it was about $98 per household, which totaled up to $13 billion. So having an internet response option has the potential, if the Bureau can effectively implement it, to have a profound impact on both the quality and the cost associated with the 2020 census.
Well, walk me through exactly what those historically hard-to-count populations are, because as I dug into the report, they're not completely self-evident. Some of them made a lot of sense, but there are some that were not self-evident.
Sure. So, you know, in looking based on past censuses, these historically hard-to-count populations include minorities, renters, children, low-income households, as well as low-education households. And so the Bureau has taken some preliminary steps in examining the impact of having an internet response option, and they've done this through existing American Community Survey studies in this area. And they also have plans to do additional future studies as well.
You write about the American Community Survey in this report, and I wonder what the lessons are that they can learn. And are those lessons, because that's a smaller scale, as you write,
right,
whether those lessons really are scalable up to the full census where they're supposed to count everybody in 5 years?
Right. Well, certainly that's in part why the Bureau does have future studies to examine the impact to the historically hard-to-count population specific to the 2020, because you're right, the ACS is on a much smaller scale. But based on their findings there, the Bureau actually issued a report in May of 2014 and found that the total self-response was significantly higher after introducing an internet response option. And again, you're right, this is in the context of the smaller ACS scale. However, what they did find was that while none of the groups had dramatically low rates of internet participation, the addition of that internet response option did have some positive impacts on certain segments of the population and negative impacts on others. So, for example, there were positive impacts to the population segments related to, for example, single unattached mobile renters. And then on the negative impact side, they did identify certain impacts to ethnic enclave homeowners. And so, so the bottom line here is that the Bureau does have future plans to test and research these particular segments of the population specific to the 2020.
And you write about some of those efforts in this report, and at the beginning of the report, it says the Bureau is planning two 2020 census field tests this year that are expected to provide data on internet response rates among different demographic groups. Is this, are these make or break tests? Because it seems to me, I mean, 2020 sounds like it's far away, but for conducting a count of every single person in the United States, it's like the blink of an eye, I guess.
Absolutely. And, you know, and these two tests in 2015 are very significant in informing the historically hard-to-count populations. And so the Bureau does intend, through the results of these tests, to determine the particular outreach methods that they will need to optimize the self-response for these populations. So, for example, it may be that pushing the internet first might be more effective, followed later by paper questionnaires or vice versa, or a combination of the two. But that's what these two tests in 2015 is designed to look at.
What do we know about the identity management techniques that that Census will undertake to make sure that when Francis Rose or Carol Cha goes on the internet and certifies that there's this many people and so on at this house, that it's really the right person responding?
Right. So the Bureau does have a number of research projects underway to examine what is the best way to do that. So you're right. They do have one particular project underway looking at non-ID processing, meaning that there may be potential for having an internet response option where a user goes online but doesn't have a Bureau-issued identification code to log in. And from there, they'll be able to do matching through the use of administrative records to ensure that, you know, as I log in as Carol Cha, that they're able to authenticate that. So that's one particular option that the Bureau is currently researching. But they're also researching other methods, including having a Bureau-issued code for households, as well as, for example, having potential for pre-registration prior to the internet response option going live on April 1st.
Carol Cha, the Government Accountability Office, my guest. She and her team looking at the 2020 census as delivered by the Census Bureau. You mentioned earlier the cost expectations and the possibility that using an internet response might save money for the Census Bureau and lower the cost of the census. You write in this report regarding the cost estimates that they've done, the Bureau's preliminary estimated cost of about $73 million for the internet response option are not reliable because of its because the estimate didn't conform to best practices. Where did they go wrong? And is it that the $73 million may not be right, or is it that we just don't know because of the documentation process?
No, we know that the $73 million is not right. It's not complete. There are gaps in that estimate itself. So in terms of the best practices that we applied, you know, we're looking to ensure that these estimates are comprehensive, that they're well documented, that they're accurate, and they're credible. And when we examined the $73 million figure, we identified that, you know, that was not built using a high-level work breakdown structure, meaning that, you know, that structure is critical for ensuring that all major aspects of work are captured in the estimate, and the Bureau did not do that. In addition to that, the Bureau also relied on ACS data, the American Community Surveys data, that was not truly analogous to the 2020 plans for the Internet. And they also, in terms of looking at the costs associated with the IT infrastructure, for example, they did not account for the risk and uncertainty associated with those particular needs. So collectively speaking, the estimate itself was not reliable. There were also documentation problems as well, where there were certain line items where the program officials were not able explain to us how they derived those estimates, because those estimates were completed by folks that had, you know, since left the agency. And so, again, that's another reason for why having a well-documented estimate is very critical.
Carol, there are two other items that you point out in this report that have to do with the timeline, not exclusively with the timeline, but where timeline elements jumped out at me. Yeah. One of them is key questions related to estimating the internet self-response rate and determining the IT infrastructure needed to support it may not be answered in time for the preliminary design decision scheduled for September 2015. And the other is that high-level timeframes for making decisions related to implementing cloud computing haven't been established. And you write about how that timeline is expected to play out. Both of those sound like they're going well into this year, and in fact, the system testing for the cloud environment's not supposed to be until 2018. And as I mentioned earlier, that sounds like it's cutting it kind of close, even though it sounds like 5 years from now is a long time away.
No, you're right, Francis. It is cutting it close, and we know all too well with healthcare.gov, which, You know, we don't want to see these agencies give short shrift to this end-to-end integration system testing. So we want to make sure that that October 2018 milestone doesn't push out to the right. And so we are actively concerned about that. The two challenges that we identified, the first that you alluded to, these key questions that may not be answered in time for the September decision, these questions include, you know, what is the estimated internet response rate, as well as what are the IT infrastructure needs relative to scalability and information security for this particular option. These are, you know, fundamental questions that, unfortunately, as part of our audit, we did not see evidence from the Bureau that demonstrated that these questions have been factored into their current plans leading up to September 2015. And again, with 6 months remaining till this key decision, it's, you know, the Bureau has limited time to determine how these questions are going to be answered. And even for something like the estimated internet response rate, well, that has implications on what the field infrastructure is going to look like for the non-response follow-up work that will occur, you know, after the initial census forms are mailed out.
Carol, two pretty straightforward recommendations here, and we've touched on each of them. You are looking for an update, estimated cost for the internet response option, and the other is to establish those timeframes, those mileposts for cloud computing decisions. Anything else that we should know about those?
Well, you know, again, it's really essential that the Bureau does establish these high-level timeframes. You know, we don't consider them to be paperwork exercises. It's really critical for them to put roots in the ground here because, again, until they do so, they're not going to be in a position to ensure that they will be ready to start the end-to-end system processing by October 2018. And again, as you said, this is really right around the corner. It's really critical for them to understand what it is that they need to make decisions about and then ultimately take action on in terms of selecting and testing and deploying these a proper cloud solution that will meet their needs.